Hey friend, are you looking for episodes that dive deep into your Enneagram type? Or are you searching for faith-based insights that transform your life? With over 300 episodes on the Simply Wholehearted podcast, it's easy to get overwhelmed. But don't worry, friend, I've got you covered. Introducing the curated, personalized podcast playlist that is just for you based on your Enneagram type. So get your copy to help you continue your path of self-discovery and spiritual growth. You can get it at simplywholehearted.com or just click the link in the show notes to get your personalized playlist. And let's continue on this transformative journey together. Before we jump in today's conversation, I want to make sure that you know about the Enneagram candles. Available now are one of the most personalized gifts that you can get on the market today. The Enneagram candles have been thoughtfully designed to capture the essence of each type, along with a specific message on the candle, which each heart longs to hear. These hand-poured wood wick soy candles are seriously the best I have ever owned. There are no headaches from the fragrance, and they each have a long burn time, which makes these a gift that keeps on giving. If you are looking for a unique and custom gift for all of your friends, family, and those just because gifts, head on over to theenneagramcandles.com. And guess what? Use the code AMY for 10% off these Enneagram candles. All the information is available in the show notes. Hi, my name is Amy Wicks, and I love to talk about the gospel message your heart was created to hear. I'm a Christian Enneagram coach for moms who loves to share resources which help you be confident that you are the best mom for your kids. I'm a mountain mama who somehow ended up on a cul-de-sac in the Midwest. I was overwhelmed by motherhood, and I struggled to understand my true motivations. But the Lord didn't let me stay there. He helped me turn those challenging moments of motherhood into a wholehearted decision to get intentional with my faith, my marriage, and my kids. I share a brokenhearted perspective with story, but with wholehearted purpose and plans so you can live a life full of courage and abundance. Think of this podcast as your on-the-go mom pal and friend who can't help but talk about Jesus and the Enneagram. So get to that pile of laundry, or hit the treadmill, or load up the kids in the car for that grocery run. Get ready to be encouraged and challenged while you listen. This is the Simply Wholehearted Podcast. Today's episode is a little different. Well, let's be honest. If you've been a longtime listener of the podcast and therefore my friend, you know I'm always switching things up. I've learned this could be a positive and negative quality about living as an Enneagram Type 7. But hey, this is why we're friends, right? Last year, I sat down with Molly Beck of the Continue Good Company for a 30-minute Enneagram coaching session. Molly wasn't totally convinced her Enneagram test results were correct. Did she lead as a Type 3 or a Type 9? She wanted to be sure of her dominant personality type and her best path forward. So, I'm sharing a behind-the-scenes sneak peek of what you can expect from an Enneagram coaching session. Maybe you've considered talking with a coach or even trying my free 15-minute discovery session, but not being sure of what to expect has kept you from making the commitment. Well, in this conversation today, you'll get to hear me walk Molly through some of the foundational steps which help her determine what Enneagram type she leads with and what the process of discovery looks like when you do it with me. Because this is often the step where my coaching clients and friends like you are on their journey, I have written, filmed, and created the Your Enneagram Type Roadmap video guide. I know that's a mouthful, but I released this roadmap last year, and I have recently updated it with even more personalized videos to put you on the path to maximize your personality. Not only does the Your Enneagram Type Roadmap walk you through the step-by-step process I'm going to briefly touch on today, but the content will provide a ton of insight on how each Enneagram type navigates decision and even engages in conflict. I mean, seriously, you guys, that is a ton of really beneficial information. I promise that everyone who has used my video guide series has walked away with information which helps them better understand themselves and connect better with their loved ones, which is why we use the Enneagram, right? So today, I think you'll enjoy this peek behind the curtain to know what to expect from an Enneagram coaching session and a glimpse at some of the material in the Your Enneagram Type roadmap. Molly, I'm so excited that you want to do this coaching call with me. My 30-minute sessions are a ton of fun because it's this opportunity to connect in person. We get to see each other over Zoom or at a coffee shop, and I get to find out what you know about the Enneagram, what you want to know about the Enneagram, and how I think studying the Enneagram together could really help you in life in general and all that different stuff. So for you, kind of what have you learned about the Enneagram so far, and what type do you think you are?
Okay. Thanks, Amy. Yeah,
this is so fun
to have this time with you. And yes, I have learned so far that I've tested as an Enneagram type 3.
Okay, great. I'm kind of curious to know what tests you've done.
I've done the Ready test twice, the paid
yeah.
one.
Okay.
And both times I've tested as Enneagram type 3.
Okay. Have you ever tried the free ones?
Yes. I actually just tried the free one last week, and I tested as a type 2 with a wing 3.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. And do you mind, is it like Beth McCord's your Enneagram coach, or was it another free online test?
It was another free online test.
Great. Yeah. There's a lot of different kinds out there. So I always like to get a feel for what people are using and what results they're getting from the different tests.
Right. Yes. So yeah, I've learned a lot about the Enneagram over the last year and a half or so. And when I first took the Ready, the paid version, I was launching my business. So I think I answered it a bit more success minded, you know?
Sure. Yeah. That's a good point.
And,
right.
Thinking of it as more of, just a business minded answers. But I've just been curious to know whether I for sure am a 3, and then there's other numbers that come to mind.
So when you have read about the Enneagram, have you read a book? Has it been mostly online information?
I've read it's like Finding Who You Are.
Okay.
Darn it.
We'll maybe look it up on Amazon afterwards too and see.
Yeah.
And see which one. I'm just curious to know the author, because that's helpful because there's kind of a variety of interpretations of the Enneagram, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There's some that are very neutral, and it's almost scientific, and it's based, which is great, which I think is actually very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are those who would interpret it in I think I would term it New Age, for lack of a better term, where it's more of a spiritualist than an actual, like, Christ-centered, theologically sound way. And obviously, my Enneagram style and coaching is from a Christ-centered perspective. So I am going to look at the Enneagram through the lens of the gospel, and I'm going to see what actually, connects to the word of God that helps people draw closer to Christ and love others better through the love of Christ. Not just navel gazing, if you will, or achieving their inner higher power. Because as Christians, as fellow, Jesus followers, we know that's not going to be the end all be all. So, but I think it's really important to know when you're reading stuff, kind of what the interpretation is of the author and the writer of the Enneagram, and kind of what their viewpoint. And there's some writers out there, interestingly enough, especially because it's become written form since the 1970s. That there are some who disagree on even what triads and stances some of the numbers are on. So when you start really digging in, you're like, oh, there's other, interpretations of this, which I think is worth, if you're a coach and you really want to understand it, it's worth reading, but it can be confusing as a person who is just like, hey, could you let me know about my type?
Yes, of course, yes.
So,
makes perfect sense.
Okay, well then when you're reading that, I'm curious to know what other types resonated with you, right? You were thinking through it.
Right. And to answer your question better, or to clarify, it was a Christ-centered book that I read.
So, awesome. That's very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So the type 9 also resonated with me a lot.
Okay.
And possibly the type 1 as well. So,
do you recall some of the highlights of those types that you felt like, oh, maybe I sense a little bit of that in me?
Right. So the type 9 definitely, a lot of it resonates with me just with finding peace in nature. And I have a lot of people say I have like a comforting presence and more of a peaceful type 9, you know, they envision quality. That more quality.
Uh-huh.
So I see that with the peace. And then I do want I hate like delivering bad news to people, or I really don't like conflict at all. I'll do a lot to avoid it.
Okay.
But even if it doesn't, like the argument doesn't deal with me, I really don't want to be the messenger of bad news. I just don't like when people are hurt, even though it is good for them a lot of times and draws them closer to
Jesus. So kind of an exhortation standpoint.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Gotcha. But what doesn't resonate with me with the 3 is, I mean, sorry, with the 9 is I'm very much so like a planner, and I struggle with not, like, with my to-do list. If I don't get done, that puts pressure on me. So I'm just definitely like my to-do list and more of an achiever mindset. So I'm not sure. Yeah, that was actually one of my questions is I definitely relate with a lot of the 9, but if I have this, I might just be misunderstood about the 9 and thinking that they may be more peaceful, or the stillness of a 9. I'm not sure if that syncs with me. And then
I love these questions. This is so good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Keep asking. Good. No, you're good. Yeah. I got lots to say, but keep asking.
Great. So yes. I was curious too, if I have these 9 qualities, could how I be right? Like how much impact does how you were raised have on your number? Like, for example, I was raised in a very competitive family.
Sure. Yes.
And I'm just, I think I was born competitive.
Okay.
I played collegiate tennis and, have just always tried to set myself apart with athletics and different things. But, I think a lot of that was with how I was raised, and we always wanted to work hard in our family and
give a strong work ethic.
Yeah. So I was just curious, like, if that would impact me, but then I'm actually a 9, you know, but that impacted me to where.
Totally.
Yeah, I have more 3 qualities. So.
Yeah. Oh, this is good. Really good. Okay, how about the 1? I'm kind of curious to know what was it when you read the 1? Is it the planning aspect, or is there a desire to fix things, inner critic, some things like that? What is it that resonates?
Right. So something that resonates is the desire to be right, or to be like morally right.
Okay.
I was saved my freshman year of college.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
Yeah,
it was, love that. Can't wait to hear that story sometime.
Yes, but it was a very like radical, God like changed a lot. It was kind to change a lot of my habits very quickly.
Okay.
But because of like my past, I think that sometimes I want just to be like morally right, or seen as morally right.
Yeah.
But yes, so
that's good. Okay, so I have a couple things in that, and I have some more questions to ask, of course, as we go through. What's great is that you've narrowed it down to 3. What I think is fascinating, when so my Enneagram 201 course, we go through the triads and then we go through the stances, and as you learn about those, you can match them up together because they kind of intersect, and you come up with your dominant type.
Okay.
Now, in that teaching, I really strongly emphasize that, hey, listen, you are actually all 9 types. So you might resonate with a lot of these things. You might circle a lot of these answers. You might go, oh, that's me. But maybe in this situation, and oh, that's me in that situation, or this was me.
The big piece to all of this is to think about what you did mm-hmm. and who you were mm-hmm. before the world told you what you mm-hmm. should do or how you should be or what you should look like. Because absolutely, especially those college years really shape us. And so I even need to go back as far as ages 3 and 4, interestingly enough. So that helps solidify for me what type mm-hmm. I was, but it took me over a year. I was convinced for a year that I was a type 2 and maybe with a strong 3 wing, and I have learned since otherwise. But for you, when you talk about the 9, the 1, and the 3, there is a connection, even though, interestingly enough, they are all in different stances. So the 9 is in the withdrawing stance.
Okay.
The 1 is in the compliant or dependent stance.
Okay.
And the 3 is in the assertive stance.
Okay.
And so from that, the other thing too to note in those differences is the 9 and the 1 are in the gut triad.
Okay.
Whereas the 3 is in the heart triad. And for people who are trying to distinguish between the gut and the heart, mm-hmm. there's some angst there because it's a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
So the biggest difference between the gut and the heart, and this is where I always like to start more than you do, I think you are 3, a 9, or a 1. And in ultimately, you're the one who decides. I don't tell you.
Yeah.
But I can point you in the direction where I think, dial into this a little bit more, and I think you'll be surprised.
That's great.
But the heart and the gut person doesn't really think. They just respond. If they have a situation coming at them, if they are asked to make a decision, they're going to absolutely be a gut reaction.
Hmm.
And they're just going to do. And after they do, they're going to think about what maybe they should have done or should have done differently.
Hmm.
And then they might determine how do they feel about it or how do others feel about the situation.
Yeah.
A 9... I wouldn't call it impulse control by any means. It's not that extreme, but there is a little bit of more impulsivity to how they respond. But then a 3 in the heart triad, and those in the heart triad, again, the ones in the gut triad are 8, 9, and 1.
Okay.
But in the heart triad are the 2, 3, and 4. And the 2, 3, and 4 are going to really make their decisions based on how they feel or how they think others will feel.
Hmm.
And then they will respond and react and think about it some more. But, you know, not necessarily in that order, but the first thing is they're going to check in with their heart. How does their heart feel about this? Or how do they think others' hearts will feel about in this? And it's not that the gut are unfeeling. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, 2, 3, and 4 are just so in tune with their feelings. Actually, some of them have their emotions quite repressed. Yeah. But those are kind of the big differences and distinctions. So
okay.
When you hear that difference, is there anything that one over the other resonates more with you, heart versus gut?
I'd say the heart versus over the gut.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you're thinking about your youth, would you say that to be true as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. A lot of my motivation was probably others-minded.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, wanting to do well in sports, like more so for my parents or
okay
myself too, but just wanting to stand out kind of for what I do.
Good. Okay. So the other distinguishing factor, we'll talk about the stances because you covered one in each of those stances, and that is how I like to sum it up in one question. If I'm going to do the differences, and in my 201, I have 6 questions for each stance and for each triad to help determine. And you kind of circle which ones you resonate with and you go back and see more or less and that sort of thing, a process of elimination basically. But for the 9, they're in the withdrawing stance and they're past oriented. So they're going to tend to be stuck thinking, what should I have done differently? The 1 is going to be focused on what should I be doing now and very present focused. They're in the compliant dependent stance. And then the 3 is in the assertive stance, which is forward thinking. And they're always thinking what needs to be done next.
Hmm.
when you look at your youth in that way, like we can look at that now, and I especially encourage those who are moms and who are married and they're women, mm-hmm. There's that pressure to think of what's next, or if you're a yeah. business owner,
yes.
to be more forward thinking. But again, we're going to go back to our youth. And when yeah. you're a kid, were you dreaming of yesterday and what you did? Were you very much in the moment and caught up in what you were doing here and now, for good or for bad? Or were you always thinking about when I'm older, or this next fun thing, or what's ahead, or what I'm going to do with my life?
Right.
So
right.
those are kind of like, yeah. that's like one of the core questions you can ask yourself when you look between those. So
yeah,
when so I ask that, what yes. do you lean towards more?
This is so good. I have not thought about it this way.
Yeah. And, so helpful, right?
Right.
Yes, it's a little bit of my reverse engineering
yeah,
in all of this.
It is. Yes. well, it's a little hard to like think all the way back.
It is. Then, it is. It takes time.
Yes.
It can't always be done in 30 minutes, so don't worry.
Okay. Right. And I actually asked my parents pretty recently. I did this Healing for the Nations course. It's
fantastic.
Like a 5-day
yeah, intense
healing. Yeah. And so I had to kind of ask them questions about how I was as a child. And they definitely identified me more as like the hero role of the children, just with wanting to be kind of like the best, or just wanting to
wow.
be good. But when I think about, you know, if I think about past now, it's definitely more like present to future that
okay.
I think about.
Yes.
But when I was younger, what stands out is I remember thinking often about the future. I was pretty like able to relax in the moment though, you know, like
okay.
I would read a lot and,
okay.
Definitely more introverted and,
I was a classic bookworm.
Yes.
It was more about putting myself in a different world.
Oh yeah, that's true. Uh-huh. Yes. I was Laura Ingalls Wilder, like all the time.
Love it.
Books.
Yes.
While I could kind of get lost in what I was doing mm-hmm. in the present, I definitely remember always thinking like, what am I going to look like as a teenager?
Uh-huh.
Or, what am I going to do? And so I think I was more future-minded. I think I do need to like reflect on that a bit
yeah.
more and keep thinking through
yeah.
that though.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I have some other questions that I'll send you again. Part of this is in the 201 course, mm-hmm. but this would be some really great questions to even take to your parents, since they've known
cool.
you the longest, and
yes.
if you have a good relationship with them, that's a great place. I recommend people taking these questions and asking siblings that they're close to. That
yes.
is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Siblings tend to be a little bit more honest.
I can see
and
that.
In fact,
yes.
it was my sisters in conversation that really helped kind of steer me. One of them in particular was like, she had great questions to ask me in the process, but
good.
Those are really helpful.
Yes.
Here's kind of what I'm thinking for you. And this is, I want to kind of tie this on all together and help others also understand why there's the different typings that come up that make it a little muddied and
mm-hmm.
make it feel unclear. So
mm-hmm.
fascinating to note a couple things. For you, if you were a 3,
mm-hmm.
there is a line of growth and stress that goes to the 9 and the 6. But those lines of growth and stress often are why you might resonate with a specific type. Okay.
Right.
So if you do lead as a 3, again, you're all 9 types, you lead with 1, you might relate a little bit more to some of those 9 character traits. Okay.
Yeah.
You might see yourself go to that in stress.
Mm-hmm.
There also are lines to stress when we do the work there, the heart work.
Yeah.
And soul work, they actually are also a missing piece for us.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's that. Then okay. the 9, vice versa. The 9 also connects to the 3.
Hmm.
And so there is that line of stress, which creates a unique marriage combination. I'm going to throw that out there. Every combination is unique, obviously.
Yeah.
But this, you know, there's some special things about this.
Good.
So the 9 has this ability to look more like an ambitious 3, especially in our Western culture, especially if our job demands it of us, especially if we're a young entrepreneur, then we better figure out how to bolster up some three in us. So there's that. Then the other piece, and this is to not make it more complicated, but to understand the parallels and then explain where I'm going next. The nine will have two wings, the eight and the one. The great thing for the nines is that they share wings that are in different stances. The eight, where it's in the assertive stance and forward thinking, and the one where it's in the present stance and in, or in the dependent stance and present oriented. A lot of people who are a nine with a stronger wing one, they even sometimes have a hard time maybe even being mistyped in their one wing nine, because there's a ton of shared character traits when that wing is in particular very strong. So all of that, you're on, what's great is you're on the right path, that you're really close to figuring out. So, so now that you understand all of those interconnect and why they do, so it's not some abstract numbers that you're coming up with, you're coming up to something. And same with the two, the fact that you could be testing as a two is if you were three with a two wing. And you had mentioned that before. Now, the biggest difference between the nine and the three are motivation. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road. And you're like, okay, this is the clear cut difference. A three's core message that they long to hear, that they are wanted and they're valued for who they are and seen as successful. They fear failure. They don't run from the pain of it like a seven would, but they fear failure, something terrible. And it can sometimes handicap them, or they reframe it, i.e. lying about failure in order for them to not feel so bad about it or for others to judge them for their failure. So the ambition, the need, the drive for success, that is an integral part of who they are. And it's a blessing and a curse, as are all of these things. For a nine, the key for them is to know that their presence matters. They, it's not that they don't care that they're a success, but they want to know that they are valued for being in the room, that you miss them when they're not around, that they are, they play an important role in your life, not necessarily a successful role, but a valuable and important role. A nine fears being kind of isolated and, you know, therefore in that sense of like not being wanted and separated. They also fear really not being able to access who they actually are and what they believe. A lot of times, because a nine can see everybody else's perspective really, really well, they merge with everyone and sort of lose themselves in the process. So that is where two, as a nine, maybe surrounded by threes and ones who are more ambitious, they're going to merge with that way of being in order to fit in and in order to not get lost and isolated. But in the inner part of them, they're going to be wrestling a little bit. Is this really who I want to be? Is this really what I want to do? Is this what I believe even? Another piece of that too is between the two differences, the nine will have a high desire for justice, and that's going to be a driving motivator for them, whereas a three is going to have a higher desire for significance, and that's going to be a motivator for them. It's not to say that the nine doesn't want a significance and the three doesn't want justice, but again, those are core motivations. When we're talking about all these core things, when you pull back the curtain, or when you kind of open, you know, and look at your heart, examine your motives, like the word of God is telling us to do all the time, examine your motives. Are they pure, lovely, honorable, right? All those things. That's what we're looking in and making sure that in our motivation to be successful, we're not doing it out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, and our motivation to have peace and unity with others, we're not losing who God created us to be or what, being true to what we believe.
So good.
Okay. So now I got to know, we just have like a couple more minutes, what you're thinking and what other questions you have.
Okay.
This definitely takes some serious introspection. And what's really cool is that I've had young moms in my my small group who have come in my living room every week for a while. And we've talked about all sorts of things, whether it's how to manage our time to how to interact and respect our mother-in-law, you know, mm-hmm. our own moms. Right. What does, you know, motherhood look like for us? But we've certainly talked about the Enneagram. And it's been a ton of fun because there's been a few that we've worked over a year of time mm-hmm. on this. And they've asked lots of questions and trying to figure it out.
Yes.
And it's taken a while. And it's, again, it's not in the sense of, you know, introspection for the sake of self-glorification. It's introspection for the sake of what is our best path to growth. Mm-hmm. And these, they're not easy. We don't really have time in our culture to do this. We don't always have feel like we have permission to do it. And we're all so busy looking forward. Yes. Most of the time, these sort of things are kind of tricky to think about what's really true. So it's all right if it takes time.
Yeah, I was thinking about my deep desire just with something that I was hoping to like improve in my life right now, which is community, and trying to get to like the deep desire of that one, because like I want that because the Bible says yes. we should, you know, like that Absolutely. Is good, and two, it bears so much fruit and it's so good. But then I think about like my deep, deep desire, and I think it's like the shame. I don't want like the shame of not having good community, you know, and yeah. I want to be, yeah, I just want to be like good or like, yeah, so I just think that's like my deep motivator and I want to love people, but I think deep down it's like wanting to feel just, yeah, enough and worthy. And so
yeah.
that is sometimes a deep motivator. The message I long to hear resonates a lot with the type three.
Yes. Yes.
And just the message of like having a coach, like Jesus be your coach, but then not expecting results, that like that fills my heart with peace. And just growing up like with sports and always having, you know, a coach expecting results and everything, and so that really resonates.
So an unconditional coach sounds amazing.
Yes, 100%.
It's going to cheer you on and champion you and think you're the best no matter how you screw it up.
Exactly, yes. And just the witness, like God being 100% with you all the time. That's what my heart longs to hear and what brings me peace.
That's beautiful, Molly. Oh my gosh. And you brought up the keyword shame. Yeah. For the 2, 3, and 4, shame is a big deal. And for the 8, 9, and 1, it's anger. So those, you know, that's also, and you use those terms. And when I listen to someone talk and share, I do listen for terms.
Right.
I look for energy. I look for phraseology. And, you know, all of those things interplay. And then even being able to answer and reflect and all of that play into it. But, and now what I do after the 30 minute consultations is, you know, sometimes we kind of can end the conversation going, yeah, I think you know what type, or I for sure have a plan of action for you of like, okay, do this step next. The other thing is then I touch base with you through email and I explain what my coaching packages are. I have a specific, what you would be ready for is my 5-session coaching, which goes through the wings. It explains the triad and the stances just a little bit more. It also talks about the subtypes, which is really helpful. We absolutely cover the lines of growth and stress because we need to understand that better. And we also talk about contemplative practice. We talk about what it is that we can do in the privacy of our own room, in our favorite chair, or in the middle of a coffee shop, if that's your jam, or in the middle of woods, then, you know, what would that look like that helps you tap into that missing piece that the Lord has put in you, that you become more wholehearted?
Yes.
And you can be living your best life, whether it's in marriage, in your business, in your home, with your friendship, in community, which is a big thing of your heart. And you say that, I'm like, yes, Molly, the Lord is going to give that to you. And that is so good, right, lovely, honorable. And what's beautiful is that you have so much to offer to community. And I can't wait to see how the Lord opens that door.
Thank you, Amy. That's yeah. so sweet. Yes, he has provided me with a good community, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. I just long for a deeper, you know, a yes. richer. But I am so thankful for the people he's given
yeah.
in my life. But yes.
So good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, let's keep in touch and we'll keep this conversation going. And I'm excited for you.
Alrighty. Thank you so much, Amy.
It really is my joy and pleasure to walk alongside others in their Enneagram discovery journey. I hope if you need some help discovering your dominant type, you'll either schedule your 15-minute discovery call or use the Enneagram Type Roadmap video guide that I've created with you in mind. By the way, Molly and her husband Cal not only started the Continue Good Company, but they also started the Enneagram Candles. I'll be sharing a ton more about these amazing hand-poured candles on the socials this week. I hope you order one for yourself and for a friend. And remember, if you're looking for a unique and custom gift, head on over to theenneagramcandles.com and use the coupon code AMY for 10% all your gift needs. The information for this coupon code and for this website is available in the show notes. And also, if you figured out what type Molly leads with, well, send me a DM on the gram and I'll let you know if you're right. One of my favorite things to do on Instagram is to chat with you. So send me your guess. So until next time, continue to pursue perspective, purpose, and plans for a simply wholehearted life.